When Governor Tom Wolf was just a candidate running for office, Republicans' biggest knock against him was to call him Taxman Tom Wolf. In his first budget proposal, he lived up to the nickname.
We need a historic commitment to education, and we're making it today. Now, I'm sure that all sounds great, and many of you are probably wondering, how are we going to pay for it?
A 20% hike in the personal income tax, a sales tax jacked up by 10%, also statewide taxes on cigarettes and other tobacco products. They're all part of the Wolf budget, more than $4 billion in new taxes. But then there is tax relief. The governor says he borrowed from Republican plans to bring down school property taxes, especially for seniors and especially in poor areas and places where the school districts are nearly maxing out residents.
Overall, my budget will reduce average homeowners' property taxes by 50%, putting more than $1,000 each year into their pockets.
GOP Senate Majority Leader Jake Corman says Republicans cannot start negotiations with Wolf's proposal.
I mean, every governor's budget's dead on arrival when he gets to it. I mean, that's nothing new. I mean, the problem with this budget is it's not based in reality.
Corman said he doubts even Democrats are completely on board with this plan. But Democratic Senator John Blake of Lackawanna County says it shouldn't be as controversial as Republicans say.
There has been a groundswell movement out there saying that people would prefer a tax shift off of property taxes onto consumption taxes.
Lawmakers from both parties say they want more details. Property tax reform is something the GOP has been seeking for years, led by grassroots advocacy. Republican House Appropriations Chairman Bill Adolph says he wants to see exactly how the relief package would shake out.
Do the senior citizens in my district receive a property tax rebate? There was no details given.
I'm Mary Wilson.
And I'm Kevin McCrory. Wolf's plan received uniform praise from education advocacy groups for the high priority he placed on new education funding. In the first year of the plan, the governor would increase pre-K through higher ed spending by $1 billion. Over 4 years, K-12 spending would get a $2 billion boost. This, in combination with his property tax relief plan, would push the state's share of public education funding from 35% to over 50%.
If Pennsylvania is going to be one of the best places to get an education, we can no longer afford to be one of the worst in funding our schools. We need a historic commitment to education, and we're making it today.
The governor's ambitious proposal counts on the legislature approving a new predictable student-weighted funding formula for divvying up the state's pot of education cash. He also hopes to implement reforms on the charter sector. Specifically, he'd cut funding for cyber charter schools, which currently receive funding at levels on par with what is spent by a student's home district. Pedro Rivera is the acting state education secretary.
They don't have the cost of brick-and-mortar of buildings, food services, transportation, and other services that are associated with traditional public schools. So why are we paying for those services?
The Republican leaders who control the legislature decried Wolf's budget address for its reliance on tax increases. Majority Leader Jake Corman says the Senate will have to start from scratch, putting a public pension overhaul before any new spending increases. Wolf's plan, he says, has no shot at garnering the votes needed to pass.
It's a $33 billion budget, which is about a 15% increase, which, you know, makes Ed Rendell look pretty conservative right now.
Although a budget agreement is technically due at the end of June, some are already anticipating an extended negotiation session. Senator Vince Hughes is a Philadelphia Democrat.
And if we have to fight for more money to come to our schools to educate our children, it's worth going past the June 30th deadline.
Governor Wolf didn't surprise anyone in his budget address when he followed through on a major campaign promise.
It starts by doing what every other major gas-producing state has already done. We're going to place a severance tax on the extraction of natural gas.
I'm Marie Cusick of State Impact Pennsylvania. Wolf wants to model the levy on West Virginia with a tax on both volume and sales. Drillers would pay a 5% tax on the value of the gas, plus 4.7 cents per 1,000 cubic feet. He projects it will bring in over $1 billion per year, which he wants to use for education.
Natural gas production is growing faster in Pennsylvania than anywhere else in the country. Yet we are the only major producer of natural gas, the only producer of natural gas that does not ask drillers to pay their fair share.
Natural gas companies currently pay a flat fee every time they drill a well. So far, it's brought in an average of $210 million per year, with most of the money going back to communities hosting drillers. Wolf says local governments can keep that money. He's proposing to set aside $225 million per year from the gas severance tax. But some county commissioners, like Republican Alan Hall of Susquehanna County, told lawmakers they're worried a new tax will drive away business.
If you put the severance tax in and it works, then you're all heroes. If you put the severance tax in and the industry walks away, which it can easily do because they can't maintain a profit, not only do you lose the impact fee, you lose the severance tax you wanted.
Meanwhile, Republican legislative leaders like Senate Majority Leader Jake Corman of Center County say they won't discuss any new revenues, like a gas tax, until an agreement can be reached on overhauling the heavily indebted public pension system.
Everything of that will have to be weighted and looked at to see how, you know, possibly impacts the economy of Pennsylvania. We'll look at all those individually at that point in time, but we're going to focus on pension reform because we got to do that first.
Wolf's severance tax plan was also met with criticism from fracking opponents and advocates. The industry says it will hurt jobs and investment. Environmental groups opposed to fracking think it will make the state too reliant on drilling.
Governor Wolf did not talk in detail about what specifically his proposed spending plan would do to help local government, but a closer look at the numbers shows he wants to invest in cities. I'm Emily Previty of Keystone Crossroads. The State Department of Community and Economic Development would get a $78 million boost under Wolf's spending plan. Only the multi-billion dollar departments of corrections and education are slated to receive bigger general fund increases. The move was somewhat surprising to Pennsylvania Municipal League Executive Director Rick Schutler.
Department of Community Economic Development, it isn't as sexy as other things. To us, it can be very meaningful, though.
Schutler notes DCED's earmark still would be less than half of what it was before the recession, which was more than $600 million. DCED runs development programs, which means business growth and job creation. Some foster public-private partnerships, also known as P3s, that let businesses take advantage of lower-cost borrowing. Others, such as the Keystone Opportunity or KOZ program, use tax breaks to entice investment in areas that might otherwise not attract it. The agency also runs Pennsylvania's Act 47 Municipal Distress Intervention Program. New rules enacted last year set a 5-year recovery timeline for Act 47 communities versus the open-ended process of the past. So DCED might need more manpower as a result, but Wolf plans keeps funding flat. The budget proposal instead adds $1 million to the early intervention programs for cities that are at risk for financial crisis, but not quite there yet, like the city of York, for example. Wolf's fellow Democrat, Lancaster Mayor Rick Gray, is hopeful for benefits from initiatives not explicitly tied to local governments.
The whole budget address was a commitment to municipalities, I think.
Gray points to education funding increases that could cut property taxes, for example. And Wolf proposes $8 million for municipal aid to address deteriorating water and sewage treatment systems, and continuing Act 89 transportation funding expected to total $500 million over 5 years. Emily Previty, Keystone Crossroads.